Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome once again to Madam Perry Salon, the podcast where fascinating people meet. I am your host, your groove mistress, and your spiritual advisor, Madam Perry. But you can call me Jen, Jennifer, JP, Perry. I'm just happy to be here with you. And thank you all the people. Thank you to everyone who is subscribing on whatever your favorite podcast app is, Spotify, Apple, iHeart Radio, Podbean, Good Pods. Thank you all so much for subscribing, for sharing with your friends, and for reviews when you leave them. I like that. It lets us know what we're doing good and what you would like for us to add. That's very important. So, where have we all been? You know, last weekend I was at the Con Possible Steampunk Expo in Atlanta, my hometown, and that was fun. You know, I'm big on the steampunk, and I'll be at Wild Wild West Con in 2 weeks, and there I'm going to be giving a presentation about Merry Murderesses and Pirate Queens, yeah, as well as Victorian Women in Science and another episode of Victorian Parlor Games, which I don't know, the last time we did it, it ended up much wilder than anything I ever expected. So can't wait till this year. So we've had so much fun lately, our guests and all the fun people on here, musicians, actors and such. Coming up soon, we've got returning Carolyn Levitt, USA and New York Times Today best-selling author, and she's going to be back in a couple of weeks. And let's see, who else? Bruce Sudano will be back. By the way, Bruce has new music coming out, and he's even taking some older music of his to that he's done a little, I don't want to say remix on, but a different delivery. If you know Bruce, if you've heard him on the show, Bruce, one of the first songs he ever wrote when he was at Casablanca Records, he'd been in several popular bands. He's was in a lot of songs or bands that you know the music, even if you don't remember who it was. But when he was at Casablanca Records, he was assigned to meet another artist, a writer and singer, and they sat down the first day they met and wrote a hit song together. It was called Bad Girls, and the singer became his wife, popular disco diva Donna Summer. Well, anyway, he's taken Bad Girls and redone it with an Italian band he's working with, and it's got a little different edge to it. Still has an edge, but it's got like a different angle. I think you'll really, really like it. So check that out too with Bruce Sudano, and we'll have him back as soon as he's got a break in his tours. And speaking of getting a story from a different angle, that's exactly what you'll get. Tonight's guest, I have been kind of watching and following his career for a while, and I'm so excited to have him on tonight. He is a filmmaker, producer, screenwriter, author, and I am thrilled to introduce you to Mr. Duane Williams. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm delighted to have you here. So, you know, I feel like everything I've read about you and seen about you, it seems like this is the case. Watching your career with your company and what you've done and what you're adding in, I feel like you're a person who is exactly where their spirit, their soul, their heart was meant to be, creating and creating stories and films. And am I right? Am I right on with that?
Yes, you are right. I think for so long, I loved the outlook of this industry. When I was growing up, I tried to do anything that was inside of entertainment, writing music for people, managing artists. And I did this all while in high school, just trying to find any outlet into entertainment, because growing up in a family like I did, we always enjoyed family time because we entertained each other. We enjoyed coming together as one family and entertaining each other. And to make a career out of it, I always thought was impossible. But, you know, moving from Las Vegas, where it's not really a booming industry for film, to Atlanta and figuring mm-hmm. out that this is actually possible, it was really exciting. And I enjoy simply creating.
All right. All right. Yeah. And it just seems like this is what is, this is what your brain and your soul were made for. Now, so are you not from Atlanta? I don't know what I thought you were, but are you from Las Vegas?
I was actually born in Louisiana, and I was raised half in Louisiana and half in Las Vegas. I moved to Las Vegas in 2008, right after a very bad hurricane, to take care of my great-grandmother. And we just end up staying and, you know, just making Las Vegas work. But mm-hmm. I actually was born and raised primarily in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, we're glad to have you here in Georgia, too. Now, let's talk about, you mentioned that your journey into your creative career in film and screenwriting began in high school.
Yes.
So tell me how that got started, because let me tell you, Madam Perry's been around a few years longer than you. And when I was in high school, we didn't have anything cool like that. And especially for girls, you know what we had? Home ec and typing and shorthand. So that was like your two careers.
Yes.
That was it. So tell me how it began.
How it began was, I grew up with my mom and my grandmother, and they were very talented writers and always were just so happy when they were creating work and, you know, things like that. From when I was way younger in high school, my mom wrote a book, and it was a New York Times bestseller. So she thought,
whoa,
let's take it one step further and do a stage play. And she ended up being the first playwright to have a stage play on a Las Vegas showroom at a casino.
Whoa.
So watching that, yeah, watching that, I was amazed. I was like, just seeing all the love she was getting, a sold-out showroom, just seeing the love that she was getting and just being a part of that at 9 and 10 years old, I knew that one day I wanted to make that my career. So I always knew that I had her support, but I wanted to, you know, sit down and just pick her brain and just see, you know, like, how do you do this? What do you do that? You know, what softwares do you use? And she was just so excited that we had yet another thing besides music, our love of music together, to, you know, just show me. And I took it from there. And any time anyone needed me to write scripts for YouTube videos, or I created my own YouTube channel for a little bit in high school, anything and everything, I did it for free for years. I just wanted to write. I wrote my, you know, scripts and music and stuff like that for the longest time in the Apple Notes until I could afford Final Draft and, you know, more, you know, higher quality platforms.
Man, that, yeah, that was, a, you were determined. You were not going to be stopped just because you didn't have something fancy software. That's beautiful. And I love how, you know, your mother, you and your mother share your creative talents and drive, but that had to have been, especially at 9 or 10 years old, you could see that things, something like this, that so to so many people is a dream that they have that may never be realized, no matter how much talent they have. Whereas you could see, oh, yes, so this is possible. This is doable.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And just seeing that, and, you know, like, my mom, I feel like, is a modern-day Renaissance woman. She does everything. But, you know, this industry is often, most people do it for passion. It's very hard to make a career out of it. And to watch someone so close to me be able to make a career out of it, it inspired me so much. And even though she doesn't really particularly do entertainment anymore, she still inspires me, just because that's where I got my start from. That's where I got my inspiration from, was her, was watching her.
Now, besides your mother, besides learning from her, who else, what were your, you know, people always say, well, what were your earliest influencers? And I know this is a question everybody asks, but, you know, we like to know, when we see an artist, we like to know what first sparked it in you. Where did your ideas first come from?
Really and truly, I watched so many genres of film, particularly horror, and I loved just things that came from horror, sci-fi, or fantasy. Tim Burton and Spielberg and Scorsese and Robert Englund, and just seeing those people create fired me. And that was, horror was one of the first things that I actually wrote and tried to produce myself. I was 14 years old, and I had watched a bunch of the Friday the 13th movies, and was just so inspired by that direction and just what they created. Because, you know, of course, all those movies wasn't, you know, box office successes, but they were fan favorites. People still watch these films and, you know, dress up as these characters and have created a world inside of, outside of this film. And I think that those people specifically, I just grew up wanting to create like them.
All right. What? Well, then tell me more. Keep expanding on this, because I just want to know what went through the young brain of DeJuan Williams.
I think, in the beginning, as shallow as it is, I was like, okay, what if I can become famous from doing this? What if I can create these movies and be number one at the box office? It started off like that. And it started off, you know, watching people like Spielberg and Scorsese and Christopher Nolan and Tarantino create, and being like, okay, maybe I could be just like them. I can top the box office. I can have a hit that is not only a box office success, but is a fan favorite. And I set out to write a bunch of scripts across all different genres, and I wouldn't let anybody read what I was creating, because I just wanted to create, just wanted to write in so many different genres just to try to give myself the experience. And that was mostly what ran through my mind in the beginning is how can I get my moment like some of these legends, these legend mm-hmm. directors? How can I get my moment? And that's what I set out to do. And I set out to find any and every opportunity. I was, you know, told no way more than I was told yes. But mm-hmm. even getting told no 80% of the time back then helped me because people were critical. They were like, your work is shoddy. It's not good. Is this coming from a child or, you know, whatever? And that helped me become a better writer, and that molded me even back then at 14 to 15 years old because I always knew that I was always one yes away from being able to realize my dream and turn my dream into a reality. So I knew that it was going to be a bunch of no's, and that was mm-hmm. fine, but I knew that I was one step closer to getting that one yes that I needed. And I think that's mm-hmm. what drove me to keep going, even when some days I felt like I would never do this past high school or I would never do this as a career.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, that is such a brilliant and such an accurate assessment of how you have to think, the mindset that you have to keep yourself going to succeed. And yeah, all your first stuff is not going to start off being, oh, well, God, gosh, where have you been? This is the script we've been waiting for. But they see, you know, it helps you keep developing and polishing and finding your style, finding what works and keeping it, what doesn't work and getting rid of it. And when you talked about getting more no's than yeses, but you knew there was another yes, you know, you were just a yes away from, you know, fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. When you said, I thought about how, you know, I am an entertainment publicist. And when mm-hmm. I worked in PR, and then when I started working for someone that hired me to work for HBO documentary premieres and doing publicity for them. And then I began to take on people like authors saying, you know, authors or musicians or whatever. But the thing is, if they were a new author or young, they got a book and they did good, I said, okay, great, let's work on this. We'll work on our strategies, our tactics, how we're going to go about this, you know. And anytime somebody got a bad review or didn't get a certain, I don't know, a certain book event, author event, book that they wanted, and then they would just mm-hmm. get all upset and bent out of shape, and I don't know why they say it. I go, well, let me put it this way. Okay, you're a writer, you know, and you're good. And think about, name for me at least three of your favorite authors that are successful, and they would name some. I said, okay, great. Now, if you never have a bad review, if you never have someone tell you no, if you never have an author event where no one shows up except maybe somebody just came in to get out of the rain, think about that, hold that thought, and then say you're at a big event like Book Expo America or on TV or something, and you're backstage with these authors, and maybe they're all sharing stories about careers, and you say, well, I've never had a bad review. I've never had anything bad. I've never been told no. You know what they're going to do? They're going to take you out in the parking lot and beat your behind, and you'll deserve it. Because you will not have earned a place to be there, or else they're going to think you're just making it all up. Because this is what builds the character and the ability to just keep on, you know, keep yourself going, keep facing forward, keep going. This is what gives you the stamina. That's what I'm looking for, stamina.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of the creators that we have in today's world, especially people around my generation, they want something as, I call it, microwave ready. They want something, they want a career in entertainment just right off the bat. They post one TikTok. They post one Instagram photo. They make one YouTube thing. They make one short film, and then they expect it to be an overnight success. And when they don't reach that achievement, that unrealistic achievement, then they want to give up on the career. And it's like you have to – there is popular artists that have been in the game 10-plus years that still get told no. Directors and screenwriters and producers that have brought billion-dollar ideas to the box office, they still get told no. And it's just how this industry works. It's nothing personal. It's just how we work. It constantly builds that character. No matter what level you're on, if you are intermediate, if you are a beginner, or if you are an expert, it does not matter. You're still going to get that no. And it's what you do once you get that no.
Again, well, you got me on that microwave, Wendy, because I wrote a book on how to be your own publicist. It's just a short one. Mm-hmm. It just gives you some basic stuff from somebody who's been in the trenches about how people, what I would do to start off for someone to lay a plan for their publicity. And this way they can say, if you can't afford a publicist, get this book so you can start it off with a DIY, or get it to your best friend who they can learn to do it for you, whatever. But I've also done several group classes and webinars. When I did the webinars, I always had one slide up about the first slide about social media. And because, today people have the ability that they didn't have for a long time to be able to put your own work out there and let it find an audience. And they just don't realize how much, but you still have to engage, and it can't be all about me, 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 me. You've got to engage with other people, And so on the very first slide, I wrote something like, okay, I got a Twitter account like you told me, and I'm not famous yet. I knew it wouldn't work. That's what I wrote on that slide. And I put it just like that. This is what I hear from people. No, you don't. Not going to work like that. But
no,
you do have to get in there. You do have to make people want to engage with you by how you engage with them. And
absolutely.
So they want it all right there at that second, at that moment, microwave ready.
It's just not realistic.
No, it's not. So now let's talk about I know you've got, my producer told me you have a very exciting project that you're even started or starting up soon. But first I want to talk to me about films on your website. And by the way, the website is Cheyenne Drive Entertainment, Cheyenne like the Indian tribe, Cheyenne, driveentertainment.com. Great website. Go to the website. And by the way, it also, this is the live show tonight, which is on February 20th at 8:23 p.m. Eastern Time. If you are listening live or you have a question or comment for DeJuan Williams, we'd love for you to call in. The number in the studio, 646-716-9922, or send me a message on Facebook, and I'll be happy to share it with them. Although most of our listeners listen to it after the live broadcast or when they're driving or when they're jogging, and that's why I say I'll also share all the information for you afterwards on all of my social media too. But let's go back to Cheyenne Drive Entertainment. Great website. You've got some films listed here that I shared one of the trailers today because it was just absolutely enchanting. So you've got Drama for the Holidays, Drama for the Holidays 2, and The Dwindling Flame, which is the one I showed the trailer for. Tell us about how you started with those films. Right? Who wrote them? How did you cast them? Yeah.
So those three films are my babies. I wrote and directed those with my wonderful team that I've built since starting to do this full time in 2017. When we first got started, I wanted to create something that was going to be funny. And I knew that I had to create something around Christmas because it has always been my favorite holiday, my family's favorite holiday. And it was something that I knew that, of course, I was going to need my entire family to help with.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that something like that, a comedy, a Christmas comedy, would be something that the whole family would just, you know, love. So from writing, from hatching the idea for John McCoy the Holidays to writing it to getting on set was 3 weeks.
Mm.
And it was the fastest that I've ever done a project, and it will always be the fastest that I've ever do a project because that was a lot. But it was one of the most memorable things in my life because the energy that was created on that set, the friendships that was forged on that set, I still talk to those people to this day. And that film debuted in 2018. And I still talk to those people to this day. And what we created was off of a $1,000 budget. And it was just a bunch of people that were just like me, that were new in the industry, that just wanted to create. They just wanted to be a part of something. And that's where Jama for the Holidays came from. And the inspiration that I took from that, I knew that I was going to want to do this again. And I set out to do it again the next year, but planned. And that's where we all tried to come back for Jama for the Holidays too, but, you know, just a lot of things came up and not everybody wasn't able to return. So we made the best of it, and we forged more friendships and created more memories and had a good time on set and just created really positive energy. And I think from that production, because that one came out the following year in 2019, I have seen my cast and my crew go on to do other projects together. And I think that's what made me the most happiest and the most inspired was that some of these people didn't have the outlet to be in the entertainment industry and to, you know, get these projects and to be on these films and these web series and stuff like that. And now some of these people are now doing this full time. They have quit their day jobs and they're doing this full time, all because of the energy we created on set.
Oh, honey. That made me feel good. That made me feel energized. Like, they pulled together. Everybody had their heart in it. And that's another thing people don't realize. If you go into it with your heart, you're thinking about the project and the message and how you're, you know, as they tell us in journalism school, it's the message and then the medium you're using to deliver it and the audience. You've got to think about all those things, and they were. Put their heart, they just, that kind of energy carried them forward to continue a career. Well, I want to talk more about your some of your other projects, but right now I've got a couple of messages, and we'll be back in about a minute and a half with Duan Williams, author, screenwriter, filmmaker, director, here on Madame Perry's Salon.
Ugh, what a day! I just need some me time for once. Yes, Perfect. I got the new bath bombs today. Peach and clove, here we come. Mim and the Anvil makes the best-smelling herbal blends of bath bombs. You can order loose or ground herb, added buttermilk, extra large, even ones with hidden gifts inside. There are over 25 essential oil varieties. After today, my body definitely needs some spiritual nourishment and lots of fizz. Her metaphysical blends are soothing in more ways than one. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. Make time for yourself. There are over 100 herbal blends of bath bombs. Keep a healthy body and mind. Feed your soul. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. If you don't make time for yourself, no one else will.
I mean, the world has gone crazy, right? I mean, this whole pandemic. I don't even know if I'm coming or going anymore. You know what I mean? But the one thing during the pandemic that I found out, right, that was a good thing was the Madame Perry Salon. I mean, this podcast, right, when you hear her laughing, all you want to do is laugh. Right? When her dog's barking in the background and she's talking to the duck, she's going to an interview, and I'm like, this podcast is the best podcast I've ever heard before. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll just say I've got the best audience and the best guest of any podcast, that's for sure. Anyway, this is Madam Perry here in Madam Perry Salon, a cultural salon and a genie bottle in cyberspace with my guest, Dewan Williams. Dewan, I'm so excited to have you here. Now, where do you want to? I'm going to choose your own adventure here. Do you want to talk about the other film, the Dwindling Flame, or do you want to talk about your new project, the sci-fi project?
The Dwindling Flame, I do want to talk about because feel that project was. I tell you, Jen, that project was just so, it was so inspiring. And even though, as soon as we finished, because we started production on that podcast right after Drama for the Holidays 2. So that was December of 2019. And we filmed The Dwindling Flame in January of 2020. And I believe it was March. And a few days after we wrapped, the world just shut down because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I had planned for this film that we had been just for months just going over, like, we're going to have a big premiere. We're going to have big buckets of popcorn. They're going to have the poster on it. We're going to have a good time. We're going to play music. All of those plans just, they couldn't happen, you know, because of everything that was going on. Project. It was magical because we shot this project primarily in Columbus. And I had never been to Columbus, Georgia before. Very, very beautiful city. And we all, because the film is based around a couples retreat. So our plan was to actually, because we did so much research for making sure that what we were putting on camera was truly authentic. So we was like, we all might as well just stay at this house that we're filming at and do these activities. Because why not? We had all bonded. We had been friends and colleagues for years, and I had my amazing team of Fee and Nadia and Heaven, and my mom is my executive producer, and we just had such a magical team that it just felt right to do that. So we bonded by, you know, doing s'mores by the campfire and just doing so much stuff that happened off screen that just made this, that made Dwindling Flame the film that it is. And I'm always super proud to look back at that film and look at some of the behind the scenes, and some of the castmates went on to do Dynasty, which was, you know, largely shot here in Atlanta.
Ooh.
And every time that I've seen them, because I love Dynasty, every time that I saw an episode and I saw my Dwindling Flame cast, I would just shout them out, and just we would just spend an hour just reminiscing and, you know, just going over it. And it was just such a good film. And the feedback that we got from Japan, from the UK, from just all over the world, and this one specific review that we got, and I could talk about this film all day, so I'm not going to do that, but this one specific review that we got from a couple in London, and this lady was like, I just had to, like, I left a review on Amazon, but I had to reach out to you in person to let you know that your film quite literally saved my marriage. I put this film on and thought that it was going to be a comedy. And yes, I did laugh, but she said, and I quote, I think that you should have made this an instructional video instead of a film, because the information and the knowledge that I took from this film quite literally saved my marriage. I mean, I could have boo-hoo cried getting that DM on Instagram, because I wanted to create something that was, you know, funny, and it was enjoyable and was relatable. And but I had no idea going into it just how relatable people were sharing their stories and relating to it and taking, you know, knowledge from it and inputting it into their relationships, just how emotional that would make me. And I will always love that film. I can always talk about it. I can always just reminisce about it, because it was such a beautiful point in time. And just being in that moment and being on a set like that is why I continue to create, because of that film and those reviews and that outpour of just love.
Oh, no kidding. I can't imagine how it felt to know that this project, this creation, you know, born of your mind and then realized, you know, made into reality with your crew and the way you went about it. And I'm obviously the fact that you guys stayed there and really bonded putting this together, I think probably brought in a real tightness of relationships between an emotion to really get the message of it. You know, and then when somebody said, too, some of the people that said, well, I thought it was like a comedy or kind of like, I'm thinking that probably let people relax, and that makes them open up their hearts and mind. And then the other message can get in. If they had thought it was all serious, like, I don't want to know, they're going to be telling me what I'm doing wrong. But because she made them comfortable and they laughed and they sat back and, like I said, opened their heart, soul, and mind, that came in. Oh, Duana, I just think this is what it's all about.
Yes. It's a beautiful thing. And like I said, it's the reason why I started after, and this is a segue into the sci-fi series that I'm producing. It's the reason why I not only wanted to continue to create works and bring works that I wrote to the small screen, but to help and inspire others to do so. And that's when I knew I wanted to create Cheyenne Drive Entertainment, to bring on my crew that I had loved for films and for years previous on permanently, and to work with these people every single time, no matter if they were doing a project for me or if they were doing a project for someone else, just to get that just to keep that same energy, that same vibe concurrent across all sets is what I set out to do after Dwindling Flame, because that those messages, outpour of love, I could have never gotten on my own. I could have never did something so grand as a 20-year-old by myself. It took my team, and it took, you know, my script supervisor and my assistant director and, you know, my sound. And it took all of those people just being with me, working with me, you know, dealing with me to create something so beautiful that that inspired others.
You know, people who have worked in maybe theater or a film like this, work on a film or TV, I think that they find that you kind of get a family dynamic in it.
Yes.
Amongst the people.
Yes, and that's something that my mom and I, we're business owners. We have businesses in just about every industry. But no matter what we do, if it's a stage play, if it's a web series, if it's one of our other businesses, we always want to create that family atmosphere. And oftentimes we're told, don't do that because those same people are going to walk over you, or they're going to get comfortable, and they're going to not see clear boundaries, and there's going to be smeared lines. And, you know, it was just so much negativity surrounding creating that family atmosphere. But we have seen quite the opposite. Of course, we've had people who've taken advantage and who've seen that as something that they could use and abuse. But for the most part, the dear and true people, we have seen that has been just shown in our work. Our atmosphere, our positive energy is transferred into our projects and transferred onto a small screen. And it's something that I set out to do every time. I'm all about energy. If your energy doesn't match ours, it's not going to work, because we're coming to do a job. We're coming to get paid. But this is what we love to do. This is our craft. This is what we have dreamed about. So it's a job, but we always approach it as a job, of course. But the energy and stuff that we have, it's hard not to laugh and have to do multiple takes and to, you know, do things outside of it. It's hard not to do that when you have such good energy and such positive people that you're working with. It's hard to keep it so strictly just by the book.
Well, take us now into the next adventure, as we were talking about, this sci-fi. Who doesn't love it?
Yes. So this series, I was approached by an author by the name of Avery Jackson. He approached and said that he had had a lot of just negative experience when trying to bring his books to life. They were a popular series. He wrote 7 books. He has one more on the way. And he always wanted to create a series, and he has spent countless money and spent countless time and just never really got anywhere. So he came to me and he wanted to create this series. And I read it and I instantly knew that I couldn't direct this series, because my in-house director, Nadia Starr, is, I'm talking about, the biggest sci-fi fan. I mean, she could talk about it for hours. I knew right then and there that I had to pass the directing hat to Ms. Starr, because this was something that she was waiting on. And since being in production for this series, and we're going to start filming at the beginning of April, it has been amazing just watching, because how I met Nadia was, she was a PA on one of my sets. That's how I met her. And I didn't even directly hire her, but she came on set for Drama for the Holidays, and our energy just instantly just matched and intertwined, and we just became this force together. And I knew that, like, sitting back now and watching her direct more outside of Cheyenne Drive and directing, you know, this series and stuff like that, it's, you know, it's like a proud parent moment, even though she's older than me. It's just like seeing how she started and her drive and her desire to be in the industry and to create content and stuff, and then now seeing where she is now, I knew that this series, that I was doing Mr. Jackson justice. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he didn't bring us an amazing script, just the log line. It centers, the series is called The Game, and it centers around five mutant families that all battle to be number one, to be the number one family. And it's like this organized crime type sci-fi fantasy series that really hasn't been on the mainstream.
And
it's very just creative and innovative, and I'm so excited to produce this series, not only because I'm a sci-fi fan. I grew up watching Teen Wolf and Supernatural, and I still watch these shows. I go back and rewatch them all the time. But not only because of me being a fan, but also just being able to finally give him that yes that he had been searching for. He had been getting told no, 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 no. And to finally be able to give this screenwriter that yes, it makes me proud to get up and work every day to create this series.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be something amazing to watch.
Oh, I can tell it. I can tell it will be. This is, you know, I knew this was going to be fun to talk with you, but, you know, you just took it a few notches higher. And on Jackson's books, what is the name of the, is it the Game?
Yes, it is called The Game. And I own a bookstore in Douglasville. His books are Amazon. His books are also at our bookstore in Douglasville called Douglasville Books. It is a wonderful read. And if you are a lover of sci-fi and fantasy, The Game by Avery Jackson is the perfect series to get into your nice, comfortable recliner with your reading glasses and your low light and just enter a different realm.
And your coffee, tea, or adult beverage.
Yes. Your glass of wine or your coffee.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was looking at the synopsis of it here in Amazon, The Game Return. And I talked about how everybody's back, the group is back, and it says, if you don't mind me reading just a couple of lines, it says, a new species has been awakened more powerful than them all, and they've been ordered to fight to the death with one common goal in mind. Each clan is out for blood. The claws have come out, and it's any clan's game, every species for himself. But the question remains the same. Who will win the game and reign victorious? Whoa, the game has begun, and the world will never be the same. All right, this is what you're working with. Juan, honey, please.
Yes.
Oh, I love this. Oh, well, this is just fantastic. What? When will people be able to see this? How far is the project in? And when can, now that you've got their appetites whetted, when are you going to?
This project is still in pre-production. We're going to film in, we're going to start filming in April, the first week of April, and we are hoping for a fall 2024 release. And just getting to that part of this, the production is just so interesting, and because we have so many different people across the world that just look for just anything and everything that we bring. So we always are trying to expand our platforms in which our productions are going to be released. So I think the best thing that I can tell you is to sit tight and watch out for the summer, because we're going to have so much more information and you're going to be able to watch it anywhere.
Love it. I love it. Where can people follow you on social media, or follow Cheyenne Drive Entertainment on social media?
So all of my social media, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook is Dewan L. Williams. And Cheyenne Drive, all of our social media is at Cheyenne Drive. Our website is CheyenneDriveEntertainment.com, and that's where you can reach us. And we are always looking for people in the industry, people who are wanting to get in the industry. We're looking for everyone at any given moment. So always reach out. Always feel comfortable to reach out.
I see even the tabs across the website say, "Come." There's a tab that says, "Come work with us." And the different positions, we're looking for everything from directors, producers, set designers, makeup artists, everything, cinematographers, visual effects. You've got that. And there's also a tab for submit an audition.
Yes.
So, yeah. The thing about it is you've worked, you know, you had the talent, and then you had the vision, the dream, and the goal. And you worked at it, and still, you know, you continue to want to, just by virtue of these things on your website that I just mentioned, to make it inclusive.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, the energy that we create, the family dynamic that we have created, we want to keep expanding that family. There are so many people that, you know, are looking and vying to be in this industry, and they have the talent. It's just they don't always get the outlet. They don't always get the same access. And that was another reason why I created Cheyenne Drive Entertainment, was to be that access. We want to be your starting point. We don't want to be your finale. We want to be your starting point. We want you to start with us, and we want to see you on a big screen one day, whether it's in front of the camera or behind it. Mm-hmm. So we want to be your starting point. And for the past 3 years that I've had this company, we've done films. We've created films and series, and not everything is out just yet. As things roll out, we always let people know, but we've been able to give that inspiration back to the community that COVID kind of took away, you know, and then the different strikes and stuff like that, you know, we've been able to give that back. So that's always good.
Hey, listen, I was at Wild West Con the weekend before everything shut down. And Wild Wild West Con is a steampunk convention in Tucson, and it used to take place in this little Western village that was used for films and television series that were Westerns for decades and decades. And so we would get to have it there. And the thing is, the day we left, you know, here we are in all our weird costumes, but instead of being in a hotel, we're in this Western village. And then on that, we're all having a great time. Then on that Sunday, everyone's leaving. We're all saying goodbye. there's the time change, you know, the spring forward an hour. And then as soon as everybody gets back home, that's it. And there was, we even had a steampunk band from Italy. So when they got home, they were really shut down. And I said, it's just like, this was so Twilight Zone, not just the being there, but the time zone and then the whole world. Yeah, that felt very Twilight Zone right there. But yeah, you're right. We're having to come back, and you're making entertainment for everyone, and not just entertainment, entertainment that gives you a little extra, enough to where somebody from the UK lets you know personally, wants to make sure you know personally that it had an effect. And you know, if it had for one person, it did for probably thousands of others already. Dawn, thank you so much for accepting my invitation and for all the
great work that you do.
Oh, it's been an absolute delight. I do hope you will come back. You've always got a place here in the genie bottle. And all your people, all your crew, your actors, everyone, I wish each and every one of you and your family much success in all that your hearts desire. And for now, I'm going to take off here with saying I will be sharing information on all of my social media on how to find Cheyenne Drive Entertainment, Dawn L. Williams, and your film so that everyone can enjoy them. And you guys are going to be so – the ones that already know it are going, yeah, yeah. And the ones who've been listening that don't know you go, well, thank you. So, and I'm going to close with my song. This has got my personal philosophy to it. Everybody's got to swing. Dawn Williams, thank you. And everybody, be good to yourself. Be good to each other. I love you so much.
Well, we were good night. Mother Goose.